We've produced a new CD of two sermons preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin, one for Lent and one for Easter. And we'll send you this new CD for any size donation during the season of Lent. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between now and April 12th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Lent and Easter sermons.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Time for a sermon review. Before we start that, what does Jesus mean? What does he mean? When he says that all scriptures testify of him, what does he mean by that? You drive down the street, you see a church out there, and out on the sign it says Bible believing, or it says spirit filled, or it says we preach Christ. Do they? The proof is in the preaching. The proof is what you hear preached, not what's out on the sign. So Jesus says all scripture testifies of him. If you've got a Bible-believing preacher, shouldn't his sermons testify of Jesus? That's why we have a sermon diagnostic. We call it a three-part sermon diagnostic, based mostly upon that passage that Jesus has there, but there are others as well. When John the Baptist preaches, he preaches Christ, nothing but Christ. I must decrease, he must increase. Would that more preachers decreased on Sunday morning and increased Jesus Christ. So here's the diagnostic. How often is Jesus mentioned? This is important. How often is Jesus mentioned? Keep a running tally when you're listening to your preacher preach on Sunday morning. If Jesus isn't mentioned, then the sermon isn't about him. But if Jesus is only mentioned once or twice, given honorable mention, then is the sermon about Jesus? How often does Jesus run through the sermon like a golden thread that holds the whole thing together? If Jesus is mentioned, then part two, is he the subject of the verbs? This is a little grammar. Is the preacher telling you what Jesus does? Is he driving the verbs? Or is he telling you what you do for Jesus? And then if Jesus is mentioned and he is the subject of the verbs, you have to answer one more question, and that's, what are those verbs? What is the preacher telling you that Jesus has done, is doing, will do for you? Is this the Jesus who inspires or motivates, helps, coaches you along in your best moral efforts, sets an example for you? Or, as Scripture presents Jesus, is this the Jesus who does it all for you, who saves you with a perfect life, a sacrificial death, and his resurrection? The verbs are important there. And when you're done, you can step back and ask yourself this question. What is the preacher diagnosed as my problem? What remedy has he given me for this? Is my problem stress, for which I just need a more well-organized day planner, maybe with a few Bible passages tossed in? Or is my real problem my sin and the death it brings, and the only solution is the sinless life and the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ? We're going to review a sermon by Joel Osteen, America's most popular preacher. He's pastor of the megachurch in the United States, Lakewood in Houston, Texas. They're getting close to 50,000 a week down there, and he's got a television program all over the world every week. This sermon, Believing for a Supernatural Year, from Joel Osteen. He begins with his, what I call the Osteen Creed.
All right, hold up your Bible. Say it like you mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, God bless you. I want to talk to you today about believing for a supernatural year. So often, we get limited in our thinking. We don't think we'll ever accomplish our dreams. We don't have the talent, the connections, the funds. We don't think a marriage could ever be restored. There's too much water under the bridge. Or maybe we don't think we'll ever get out of debt. We're so far down in the hole. But the problem is, we're just looking at it in the natural. We're looking at it from a limited perspective. We have to realize God is a supernatural God. And just because we don't see a way doesn't mean that God doesn't have a way. Well, you say, Joel, if I make this same income the rest of my life, I won't get out of debt until I'm 122 years old. Yes, but you're ruling out supernatural increase. God can bring one opportunity across your path that will thrust you to a new level. He has explosive blessings that can blast you out of debt and into abundance. Well, I don't think I'll ever get well. You should see what the medical report says about me. No, that may be true according to medical science, but we have another report, and it says you will live and not die. God is restoring health unto you. The question is, whose report will you believe? With men, it may be impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And some of you today, you're planning on having an average year, but God's already lined up an extraordinary year. You're planning on getting by, but God's planning on abundance. He's planning on overflow. You're thinking, if I can just survive, but God is saying, it's time to thrive. You got to get in agreement with God. God has supernatural favor in store for every one of you. He has supernatural opportunities, supernatural healing, supernatural restoration. God wants to do unusual things in your life. You need to have an expectancy down in here, an excitement in your spirit. This is not going to be an average year. It's not going to be a mediocre year. It's going to be a supernatural year. A year where you see dreams come to pass. A year where you discover talent that you didn't even know you had. A year where you get stronger and healthier. It's going to be a year where we look back and say, wow, God outdid himself this year. And when you hear this truth, when God tries to plant a new seed, a promise in your heart, three words you need to respond with. Don't complicate it. Don't try to figure out all the reasons why it's not going to happen for you. No, just three simple words. Lord, I believe. You may be sick, but God says you're going to be well. Lord, I believe. You may be in debt, but God says you're coming out. You're coming into overflow. You're going to lend and not borrow. Lord, I believe. The economy may be down, but God says you're going to see supernatural increase, supernatural promotion, explosive blessings. Well, Joel, I think you've got the wrong message. I don't see how I could be blessed this year. No, zip that up. Get in agreement with God. Let the seed take root. God is saying, this is your year for far and beyond favor.
All right, just to begin with, two questions you might want to entertain here. Does his sermon work just beautifully so far without Jesus? Does he need Jesus to preach this sermon? He's talked about God a lot. That's why the first part of the diagnostic is not how often is God mentioned, but how often is Jesus mentioned, because anyone can talk about God. You can go to the mosque on Friday and you'll hear the preacher there talk about God. In fact, he'll probably talk about Allah, the God of Islam, for an hour. He'll keep up with Joel Osteen on the God talk. You can go to a Mormon ward house and they'll be talking God. You can go to a synagogue, they'll be talking God, if they still believe in God at that particular synagogue. You can go to any manner of Christian churches and hear them talk about God. The question is, how often is Jesus mentioned? Because a generic God doesn't do you much good. Would you want this preached at a funeral? If this were preached at a funeral, come on, people, quit being so down in the dumps and negative, worrying about your debt, your health, whether or not your dreams are coming true, what kind of year you're going to have. Wouldn't you feel kind of shortchanged if this was what preached at the death of a loved one, one of your loved ones? Because when someone's lying dead in the casket, as a result of sin, the wages of sin is death. How much money you owe, what kind of year you're going to have this year, whether or not you're not feeling as good as you could, whether or not your dreams are coming true, really irrelevant at that moment, aren't they? You see, we think of sermons as, well, this is to help me get through the next week. We don't think that every sermon ought to be suitable for a funeral. Every sermon ought to be suitable for a funeral, because guess what? Death is always near because sin is always near. It's always our problem. So if your problem is debt, health, what kind of year you're going to have, whether your dreams are coming true, whether you're going to get a promotion at work, if your problem, that's your list of problems, you don't need Jesus to resolve any of those problems.
This is your year to see the fulfillment of your dreams. It's your year for supernatural opportunities. You may not see how it could happen, but that's okay. God has 1,000 different ways to bring your dreams to pass. We think natural, God thinks supernatural. The medical report may not look good, but understand God is not limited by the laws of medicine. His power supersedes natural laws. In fact, one time in the Old Testament, God simply multiplied the sound of 4 men's footsteps and caused them to sound like a mighty army. When their enemies heard it, they took off running. Thousands of people, thousands of troops running for their lives, scared to death, thinking they were being attacked by a massive army when in fact it was just 4 people. Friends, God can make you seem bigger than you really are. He can make you look more powerful. He knows how to multiply your influence, multiply your strength, multiply your talent, multiply your income.
All right, we're reviewing a sermon by Joel Osteen, preached at Lakewood, his megachurch in Houston, Texas, believing for a supernatural year, listening for Jesus. How often he's mentioned? None so far. Whether he's the subject of the verbs or what those verbs are, those are two moot questions at this point because he hasn't mentioned Jesus. And what he has mentioned is a lot about you and not a lot about Jesus. A lot about the worries that you may have, problems you may think are insurmountable. You know, he's talked a lot about what God can do. Has he said anything about what God has done? I mean, really important stuff that God has done, like sent his only begotten son, Jesus, to save you. None of that so far in Joel Osteen's sermon, but we'll play some more and review some more after this. Stay tuned.
Give me salvation, how he lived and how he died for me on the cross. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Give me the good news of God's only son. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Give me his body. Give me his blood.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Gays in the church. What's happening?
Answers with Ken Ham, whose ministry has opened a large creation museum near Cincinnati, Ohio.
The issue of gay marriage isn't one that we only see in the secular world. It's even becoming a problem inside churches. More and more churches seem to be condoning homosexual behavior. In my homeland of Australia, for instance, a large denomination voted to ordain gay clergy. And in America, Episcopal bishops have voted to ordain a gay bishop. Many Christians are shocked at what's happening, but they really shouldn't be. Let me explain. A Barna poll showed that of those teens in the church who call themselves born again, only 9% believe there's such a thing as absolute truth. So I suggest that because most people in the church have accepted evolution and a belief in millions of years, generations are being brought up not to see the Bible as absolute. Instead, they believe the scriptures can be interpreted on the basis of man's fallible ideas. Generations in the church have been applying the same interpretive method to doctrines such as marriage. That's why we see such a problem in the church concerning homosexual behavior.
How should Christians look at other social issues of the day, like abortion, stem cell research, and racism? Ken Ham tackles those topics in an intriguing book, War of the Worldviews. The book's yours when you present our ministry with a donation of any amount. Call toll-free 888-89-ANSWERS. That's 888-89-ANSWERS.
So what's the fad du jour at your church? Beth Moore, Rick Warren, post-emergent, pre-emergent, or some other move of the spirit that hasn't quite hit you yet? At the Brothers of John the Steadfast, we're kicking it old school. And by old school, I mean the 1580 Book of Concord. Check out our website for a list of confessional study groups, or if you have one at your congregation, you can let us know. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, reviewing a sermon by Joel Osteen titled Believing for a Supernatural Year. I'm always intrigued by that phrase, believing for rather than believing in. Believing for something, kind of like hoping for something or looking forward to something. The Bible's parlance usually talks more about believing in, that is, trusting in a person rather than believing for something. You know, anyone can believe for something. A lot of people out there in this economy trying their hardest to believe for something. But we'll find out what Joel is talking about as we continue this sermon review. Care to react? Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. It's Wednesday afternoon, the 4th of March, during our sermon review. You can email us as well, talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. 1-877-623-6943. Back to the sermon.
You don't have to figure all this out. All you have to do is believe. And if you will release your faith for a supernatural year, that means you get up each day expecting God's far and beyond favor, then you're going to see God show up and do amazing things in your life. I heard about this lady. Her church was in a building program. One Sunday, the pastor announced how it was going to cost $2 million to finish the project. He was encouraging the congregation, just challenging them to do their best. And in passing, he said, if God were to give you the funds to pay off this project, how many of you would do it? In other words, there's no pressure. You can't give if you don't have it. But if God were to supernaturally provide, would you make a commitment to give? This lady raised her hand. Well, several days later, she got a call from a friend. This friend had just won a major settlement in a legal matter. The friend said, I just feel like I'm supposed to give you $2 million. The lady was so excited. She was overjoyed. She said, you are an answer to prayer. I know exactly what I'm going to do with those funds. I'm going to give it to my church to help finish that project. A few days later, the same friend called back. She said, you know, I really feel like I'm supposed to give you $2 million. So if you're going to give those funds away, then I'm going to give you an additional $2 million for yourself. A few weeks later, the attorneys of this lady that won the huge settlement, they called her, said, we got good news. The judge just ruled again in our favor. The other side has to pay penalties and interest. That means you're going to receive an additional $4 million than we originally told you. That's far and beyond favor. That's God outdoing himself. When it was all said and done, the friend got blessed, the church got paid off, and the lady was not out one single penny. But notice, it all started when this lady dared to believe for supernatural increase. When the pastor said, if God gave it to you, will you give it? She could have thought, oh, I don't need to raise my hand. I never get any good breaks. That'll never happen for me. No, she was bold. As an act of faith, she said, Lord, I believe. She was saying, in effect, I believe in supernatural increase. I know my job is not my source. God is my source. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. He owns it all. When you put your faith out there like that, that's what allows God to show up and do amazing things in your
life. Oh, I'm sorry. I cut it a little bit earlier there. Do amazing things in your life. That's one of his catchphrases. Interesting. Interesting. Here is where you're seeing, just as a side note, where you're seeing Joel Osteen's word of faith or positive confession roots. His dad, John Osteen, was the real deal. He was old school word of faith. That is, name it and claim it. Now, the hints are in some of the phrases that Joel has used here so far, just a little doctrinal analysis. He talks about releasing your faith. The word of faith theology believes that faith is a substance or faith is a force that you exercise. They actually believe that it is your own divine power that you exercise in this world, and it's the only way God can operate in this world. They believe that the world was deeded over to Satan when Adam fell into sin, and now the only way God has back into his creation is if people exercise this force of faith, release their faith, that's Joel Osteen's phrase, and then God can act. In fact, he said, once you do this, then God is freed up. You see, God is bound. He's shackled by your unbelief. He can't do anything unless you exercise the force of faith. Now, you might be saying to yourself, you know, if this really worked the way Joel says it works, then why does Lakewood still have a debt on the former Compaq Center. In fact, they're leasing it, if I'm not mistaken. Why do they still owe money? Come on. Release your faith. Pay off that building. You might be saying that. But you know, the criticism of this kind of misapplication of the word faith and of belief is not that it doesn't work, because guess what? They might pay that thing off this year in a bad economy. But that wouldn't be proof that their error is true. The only standard of truth or falsehood here is not whether or not what they say works, works. The church never gauges truth by whether or not it appears to work. We're not pragmatists, we're Christians. The church gauges truth by whether or not God's word teaches it. And if it is not taught in God's word, then it is not truth. So you can talk about God all you want. You can talk about faith. The question is this what God's word teaches? What does God's word teach faith is? Simple trust in the person of Jesus Christ. He's also used the phrase God's favor. Is God's favor winning the lottery, winning a lawsuit, getting a lot of money, getting a promotion at work? Is that God's favor? Is that the best God can do? Come on. Our real problem is sin and death. Scripture presents our real problem as that we are fallen and we are alienated, estranged, and enemies of God. And you can get all the promotions you want. You can rise to the top of the Fortune 500 company where you work, and it doesn't get you any closer to God. You can pay off all the church buildings you want. Doesn't get you any closer to God. Back to the sermon.
I remember growing up, my mother always wanted a swimming pool. She was constantly talking to my father about it, but my dad was totally against having a pool. He said, "Dodie, they're too expensive and too much upkeep, and we don't have the time nor the money. I'll get you something else, but not a swimming pool." Well, he might as well have been talking to a tree. That no more fazed my mother. She would go around the house saying, "One day we're going to have a pool. It is going to be so fun. I can't wait to get out there in the water." My dad would look at her like, "Woman, what are you talking about? We are not going to get a swimming pool." But month after month, even year after year, my mother would go around just thanking God for his goodness, thanking God that he was lining up the right people, the right opportunities. She was believing for it. My dad was believing against it. But down in her heart, she had a confidence, a knowing that one day she would have that pool. And every several weeks, she would ask my father about it. "John, have you thought any more about our swimming pool?" He would say, "Dodie, I don't have to think anymore. I've told you 1,000 times we are not getting a swimming pool, in one ear and out the other." One day, my father saw my mother out in the backyard with a tape measure marking things off. He went out and said, "Dodie, what are you doing?" She said, "I'm just getting an idea where we're going to put our new swimming pool." He thought, this woman will not give up. About 6 months later, a couple showed up at church. They were from another state. After the service, they asked to speak to my parents. The man said, "We build swimming pools. We own a large company, and we flew all this way just to see if we could give you a swimming pool." My dad nearly passed out. My mother took him by the arm and said, "We need to talk." Needless to say, several months later, we had a beautiful swimming pool in the ground right where my mother had laid it out. I'll never forget the first time that we ever swam in it. Us kids, we were so excited. We ran and jumped in. My mother got in. A few minutes, here came my father in his swim trunks. His legs were so white, they looked like the glory of God. He couldn't wait to jump in, so excited. My mother looked at him and said, "John, don't even think about getting in my swimming pool." What was that? Supernatural favor.
No, it wasn't. Coincidence? Perhaps. Someone trying to be generous with John Osteen. No surprise there. Really, think about this for a moment. At the Wilkin compound, we got a very simple backyard with no fence. We like to have an unobstructed view of everything going on around us. And next door, our dear neighbors, they're just fine people. Next door, they've got a swimming pool. We don't. Now, part of it is that I'm too stingy, and part of it is it wouldn't be a wise, at least in my case, wouldn't be a wise way to spend my money. But my neighbors have a swimming pool. Top of that, they got a really nice patio and a trampoline and a bunch of other stuff back there in that backyard that we don't have either. Joel Osteen would say, they have more of God's favor. But how does God show his favor? How does he show his favor? He shows us his favor through his son, Jesus Christ, living for us, dying for us. That has not been mentioned yet. 1-877-623-6943. We'll be right back with the final installment of our review of Joel Osteen's sermon. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely upon you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Calvary Lutheran, Elgin, Illinois. Advent Lutheran, Zionsville, Indiana. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Worth, Texas. Holy Cross Lutheran, Albany, Oregon. St. John's Lutheran, Evanston, Indiana. Mount Calvary Lutheran, San Antonio, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Boise, Idaho. Village Lutheran, Ladue, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Osceola, Iowa. St. Paul Lutheran, Clarinda, Iowa. Trinity Lutheran, Lebanon, Missouri. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Freeburg, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org, and click Sponsors. The Issues Etc. 300.
Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Tell me of the God man who bore all the blame. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. When you preach the gospel, you shouldn't be ashamed.
Welcome back. We're reviewing a Joel Osteen sermon, Believing for a Supernatural Year. Or in his case, his mom believing for a swimming pool in the backyard. Same thing. Same thing. Favor of God, swimming pool, interchangeable terms here. Give me your thoughts on Joel Osteen's sermon, Believing for a Supernatural Year. 1-877-623-6943. 1-877-623-MYIE. Or email us, talkback@issuesetc.org. This email from Rebecca in Unionville, Michigan. Does Joel Osteen ever back up what he preaches with a true interpretation of Scripture? He preaches as if God owes us something. God may be supernatural, but he is weak because, according to Joel, God can only work if we let him. If we tell him, we believe. God's grace and mercy and blessing, writes Rebecca, are even more powerful in my life, knowing that I deserve nothing in my sin, and yet he loved me enough to die for me. Joel's words may be like a Band-Aid to mask our hurt, but Jesus is the salve that heals our wounds. Thank you very much, Rebecca. Great thoughts. What about the rest of you? Talk back at issuesetc.org or 1-877-623-6943.
God said, if you will delight yourself in Him, He will give you the desires of your heart. That means if you'll keep God first place, if you'll honor Him with your life, He'll cause people to want to be good to you. He'll cause you to be at the right place at the right time. His blessings will chase you down and overtake you. Why don't you take the limits off of God? Why don't you get out of your box and say, God, I'm ready for some of these explosive blessings. I'm ready for your far and beyond favor. David said, I have pitched my tent in the land of hope. Let me ask you, where have you pitched your tent? What are you expecting this year? What are you believing for? Well, Joel, that would never happen for me. I never get any good breaks. I'll never get promoted. I've reached my limits. I'll never sell my house. You know what the market's like, Joel. I'll probably never get well. No, the problem is you've got your tent in the wrong neighborhood. You need to pull up your stakes, pack up your belongings, and come over to the land of more than enough, the land of explosive blessings, the land of supernatural health. God is longing to be good to you, but you've got to get your thoughts going in the right direction. None of this will happen if we don't believe. This is exactly what Sarah did. God promised her that she was going to have a child. At first, she didn't believe it. She thought she was too old. I love what God said to her there in Genesis 18:14. He said, Sarah, is there anything too hard for the Lord?
Okay, again, it's back to what God can do and not what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. This is a Christless sermon, at least so far. Swimming pools, Dodi, John, lots of mentions of God. We got David tossed in there as well, but Jesus is conspicuously absent. Here's Jane calling from her car. Hi, Jane.
Hi, Todd. I think that this is a concept not only with Joel Osteen, but with, I've even heard people like James Dobson say that God isn't going to work until we do something. We're the actor and He's the reactor. And that's not the way it is. We can only act after He has, you know, given us the gospel, you know, law and gospel, then we can act. But we're not holding His hand that He can't do it. Also, you taught me a long, 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 long time ago about theology of glory and theology of cross, and this is theology of glory.
Jane, thank you very much. Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, this notion that God's favor, I mean, Joel just comes out and says that God's favor in your life can be measured by whether or not you've got a swimming pool in the backyard, whether your house is paid off or it sells on the market, whether or not you get a promotion, whether or not you are healthy, or whether or not you can get yourself out of debt. You know, if your house isn't selling, you know what you need? You don't need Jesus. If your problem is that your house won't sell, you don't need Jesus. You need a realtor. You need a buyer. Right? Maybe you need to drop the price. Or wait until the market improves. See, there's 100 ways to solve that problem that doesn't require Jesus dead on the cross. In fact, Jesus dead on the cross is kind of irrelevant to you if you consider your biggest problem, your debt, your health, what kind of year you're going to have, whether or not you get a promotion, sell your house, or pay it off. Right? Kind of irrelevant. You know what Joel Osteen could use? He could use the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March. It's a study Bible from a distinctly reformational Lutheran perspective. In fact, it's called the Lutheran Study Bible. And if he paid attention not only to what the text itself said, but to what the notes and the various helps in there would teach him, he would see that the Bible's not about you and that God's favor isn't about swimming pools or paying off your debt. He would see the Bible is about Christ from beginning to end, and God's favor is about Christ from beginning to end. It's the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March, the Lutheran Study Bible. You can find out more at our website, issuesetc.org. Issuesetc.org. It's right there on the homepage. Or call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours. You can't believe for it. They will make you pay for it, but it's worth every penny. The Lutheran Study Bible, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for March, the Lutheran Study Bible.
God is saying that to each one of us. Is there anything too hard for me? Do you think your dreams are too big for God to bring to pass? Do you think that relationship is too far gone for God to restore? Do you think you just have to live with that sickness the rest of your life? No, get a new vision today. Put on a new attitude. God is saying, I am all powerful. I can turn any situation around. It doesn't matter what it looks like in the natural. He is a supernatural God. The Amplified Version puts it this way. Is there anything too wonderful for the Lord? Sometimes when we hear stories like these, we think that's just too good to be true. A friend gave you funds to pay off a building project, or somebody you didn't even know gave you a swimming pool. Our mind says, no way, that's impossible. But notice what kind of God we serve. He said, is there anything too wonderful for me? He's saying, if you'll take the limits off of me, I'll amaze you with my goodness. I'll not only meet your needs, I'll take it one step further. I'll give you the desires of your heart. One translation says, the secret petitions of your heart. That is those hidden dreams, those secret desires, those promises that you haven't told anybody about. It's just between you and God. Know this today. God wants to bring your secret petitions to pass.
1-877-623-6943. Joe's in St. Louis on the phone. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how you doing?
Very well.
Hey, I actually met a guy. I was down in Houston on business and met a guy, one of the 32,000 people or whatever who attend that church weekly. And we had a discussion, and he was talking about how he had claimed the promise that he would live to be 120 years old. And I was talking to him about that and said, well, what happens if God should require your life before then? And talked about the Wycliffe and Huss and several of the reformer martyrs who had faced the burning post and didn't live to be 120 and were fully in the will of God. And the guy was entirely speechless, had never even known any of that sort of stuff had ever happened. So just a little point inside. You can go back to the show. Thanks.
Hey, thank you very much. Great contribution, Joe, and thanks for listening in St. Louis. Yeah, what about Paul? Didn't live to be a ripe old age. What about Peter? Any of the other apostles, save John, they did not live to be very old. In fact, they ended up leaving all this stuff, the swimming pools, the fancy cars, all that stuff behind. Peter could have stayed in Capernaum, plied his wares and his business there along with his brother, and he could have probably, and he probably was a very successful man. He did not consider a big haul of fish to be the favor of God, but cause to fear Christ. Go away from me. I'm a man of unclean lips, he says. Go away from me. I am an unclean man. And yet Jesus doesn't go away. Because the favor that Jesus wants to show to Peter isn't a big haul of fish or a swimming pool in his backyard. The favor he wants to show to Peter is his own life laid down at the cross for Peter. That's the favor of God. Joel talks about a God that's this is too good to be true. You know it's too good to be true, but it still is true. What Jesus has done for us in his perfect life, death, and resurrection, that's better than a swimming pool. Folks, if you enjoy these sermon reviews, please help support this worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio, and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Or go to our website, issuesetc.org. You can donate there as well. LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss the Nation of Islam's Savior Day with Kashmir Pore, and we'll discuss pro-life legislation in Missouri with Pam Victor. It's too good to be true, and yet it is true. It is founded in the very death of Jesus for you, in his resurrection from the dead, not just good news, the best news there is, better than anything Joel Osteen says, represents the favor of God. What is it? The forgiveness of your sins. You see, my problem isn't that I don't have the swimming pool or a promotion or enough money in the bank. Are those problems? Well, they might be, but my problem is my sin and my death, and Jesus has solved that problem by his life, death, and resurrection. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.